today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Forget about the crowds, the size of the school, their fancy uniforms, and remember what got you here. Focus on the fundamentals that we've gone over time and time again. And most important, don't get caught up thinking about winning or losing this game. If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential, to be the best that you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game, in my book, we're going to be winners.
All right, it is another Suburbs Pod Bracket Breakdown here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan. With me are our ace analysts, Bill Mulligan. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
And Jason Goebel. Hello, Jason.
Hey, we're in the thick of it. We are in the thick of it.
We're absolutely in the thick of it. We are down to the final four. After all of this nonsense, we're finally down to the final four. But I think it's more exciting than the actual final four, the actual basketball final four.
Yes, other than the fact we don't have Caitlin Clark slinging up threes left and right. That haven't been said. This should at least be better than the men's one, I think, this week.
Yes, good pivot there. Good point. The women's final four is probably more exciting than this final four, but this is better than the men's one. All right, so there we go. Those are your rankings of final fours. All right. Okay.
Like Avis, it's good to be number two.
There you go.
We try harder.
Okay, so let's get into it here. This is 70s album Madness. These votes have been going on for almost 2 months now, every day, different matchups, and we just finished up the Elite Eight. That gets us to the Final Four, and let's go over those Elite Eight results. So, obviously, there were four matchups there, and four great 70s albums emerged. So, starting with what we had down as Region A. Oh, by the way, three out of these four, insanely close votes. Insanely close votes, down to the wire. This is what you want to see in a bracket style tournament, right?
Yeah, I think there were people who were up all night checking Facebook constantly, watching it go back and forth.
That's right. So, Region A, the victor was Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run over the Ramones' debut album. That score was 67 votes to 65 votes.
Say this, an amazing run for the Ramones. New York City can live with the fact that this year as a five seed, the Ramones got to the final eight. That having been said, again, I think it was essentially, it was extremely close, as was discussed, but I think at the end of the day, Bruce got enough support that, you know, basically to take this one, and Born to Run gets to the final four. If you would have asked me when, after Bill Mulligan's Nick Lowe album in the first round, when they faced it, I didn't think Born to Run necessarily would get here. But Bruce, it seems to be doing, and the E Street Band seem to be doing enough each round to get to keep on advancing.
That's right. You know, you don't have to win by 20. You win by one, it's still a win.
That's right. Let's quickly look here at the Born to Run to the Final Four. Jason, you mentioned in the first round, Born to Run defeated Nick Lowe's Pure Pop for Now People, also known as Jesus of Cool, 67-49. Then was really tested in the second round, just edging Elvis Costello's This Year's Model, 75-72. So escaping that one. Then defeating Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life by 70-59. And then, as we just mentioned, the Ramones, 67-65. So a couple of close calls for the boss, but in the end manages to get to the final four.
And I would say to that end, you know, look, we had said it last time, again, borrowing from Bill, Elvis Costello may end up being the MVP without not necessarily winning the tournament. But, you know, that Elvis Costello fan base was definitely a juggernaut. So squeaking by and getting the win was impressive. The Ramones, obviously, there was a ton of Ramones excitement throughout this tournament. And so the 2-point win is impressive. And I'll go a step further, that the Stevie Wonder, you know, an 11-point victory over Stevie, and I think his, in my opinion, his seminal album, I think pretty impressive as well at the end of the day.
Yeah, nothing. This has nothing to do with Bruce per se, but looking at these results, I notice, of course, the Nick Lowe vote for me was a purely a sentimental one. I voted against Born to Run every single matchup.
Oh, wow.
So take that from that what you will.
All right. Well, we'll get to your pick for the next round, and people can take that into account, Bill.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Let's see. In Region B, the victor was Led Zeppelin 4. I believe Jason had that. Led Zeppelin 4 just barely beat Fleetwood Mac's Rumors 65-64.
Bye.
I actually did pick Rumors. And I thought the amount of hits would essentially trump the Zeppelin monolith. But at the end of the day, it was the Zeppelin monolith. You know, I think I'm borrowing a little, I guess first, Joe Dupree, who chimed in on Facebook, I'll give him credit because he apparently did claim to be the final vote that basically swayed this thing. So
right.
I assume he voted at like close to 8 o'clock. So we'll give a six man award. I realize there were only four in Zeppelin, but we'll still using the basketball terminology, we'll give the six man award to Joe Dupree. And then I guess secondly, look, it's, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, one of the things we were talking about when this thing started was whether Zeppelin should be higher. And at the end of the day, it was Zeppelin who does emerge from this bracket.
Yeah, I mean, as the results show, they're so close. You can't complain about who won on any of these.
Yes.
I also thought Rumors, its commercial success was going to carry the day, but nope. Led Zeppelin got it done.
Yep. Okay, let's look quickly at the Led Zeppelin 4 path to the Final Four. The first round, it defeated the Harder They Come soundtrack, 77-29. Then, I still think this is kind of a shocking by margin, defeating AC/DC's Highway to Hell, 78-34. Then beating Never Mind the Bollocks, Here's the Sex Pistols, 70-52. So all of those leading up to this Elite Eight matchup, you know, weren't even really close. So absolutely a juggernaut here. And then, you know, pulling it out, the one vote victory in the Elite Eight. So,
yeah. And along the lines of what you said, I think the two that definitely stick out to me, the AC/DC, I thought was going to be closer than it ended up being. The Sex Pistols, I think I picked that Zeppelin was going to win, but I did think it was going to be a smaller margin than 18. And then it came down to Rumors and, you know, topping one of the last number one seeds that was left in the tournament. So,
yep.
Again, I think you got to give credit to Zeppelin for their run thus far in the tournament and getting to the Final Four.
Absolutely. Okay. Now moving on to Region C, the winner there was the Rolling Stones, Sticky Fingers. They didn't have as close of a matchup here. Things were a little bit easier for the Rolling Stones. Sticky Fingers beats the Clash debut album 68-57.
No.
I'll say this about this one, that the way the Clash was putting up, like, I think 80s consistently. So the fact that Rolling Stones won, and by 11, I do think is kind of impressive. Yes, it was the smallest margin. I'm sorry, the biggest margin of victory in the Elite Eight. But again, you know, they were going against a Clash team that, or a Clash album that was really putting up numbers. So I think an impressive win by the Stones.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to sound like a parrot on this this podcast, but the only thing that surprised me was, given how strong the Clash had been, that this was relatively an easy victory for the Stones.
Right, absolutely. Okay, let's look at how the Stones... All right, let's look at how Stinky Fingers got here. First round was a easy victory over Kraftwerk. Trans-Europe Express, 92-22. Then another easy victory over Neil Young's Harvest, which was a big album. That score was 81-40. And then a close one for Sticky Fingers, just barely edging out Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, 68-64. And then we just mentioned The Clash, 68-57.
Well, I think one of the things we kept on saying about Regent City was this was the soft versus loud bracket. And I only point that out because I thought the Harvest win was pretty strong. I thought Neil Young would, you know, one of the best acoustic or acoustic type albums that was in the tournament, I thought was going to put up a stronger performance. That kind of reinforced my thought that I think the Stones could potentially get out of this bracket and get to the final four. The Marvin Gaye, you know, it was one of the number one seeds, so that's an impressive win. And again, I'll say what I said before, which is the Clash. I thought was impressive as well.
Yep, I mean every year there seems to be some number five who manages to make it to the final four, and Stones did it this year.
So. There you go. Okay, and then looking at the fourth region, Region D, another one. Down to the wire here in the Elite Eight, but literally moments before the vote cutoff, the last vote came in, and David Bowie's The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars beat number one seed The Who and Who's Next, 64-63. And this one was, and I know because we were texting, guys, this one was back and forth throughout the day and into the night. One of the albums would take like a one or two vote lead, and then it would swing just the other way. So it was very much like a tight basketball game.
Thank you.
and I can give you my perspective. I went to bed last night at 12:30. The Who were up by one. I think I woke up at 7 in the morning, checked Facebook. I think they were deadlocked. And then I rechecked Facebook at 7:40. This one, unfortunately, unless you come forward on Facebook, I can't give you a six-man award. But somebody ended up voting for Bowie to break the tie. And then from 7:40 on, the result held. Look, I realize I trumpeted Bowie in the last round, and I will, I guess, throw in another wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. But that having been said, I'll be honest. I thought the Who were ultimately going to pull this off. That having been said, there's obviously some love for Bowie. And, you know, Ziggy Stardust does get to the Final Four, and congratulations to Ziggy and the Spiders.
Yeah, I don't have more to say about that, but I am interested in the psychology. Who are these people who are voting at 7:45? Who's waiting 23 hours and, you know, 45 minutes to vote? I think we should talk to some of these people and see what makes them tick.
But, that's a good point.
And I apologize because now I think I may be encouraging with the six-man award. Don't just so you know, if you win that's it, right. There's no monetary prize attached.
They could be out all night partying with Jason, and they just got back in. That can happen too.
There you go.
I'll just say this real quickly. After the loss earlier in the tournament of Quadrophenia, the Who did get fooled again. All right. Okay. Let's look at the path to the Final Four for Ziggy Stardust. In the first round, defeating Todd Rundgren's Something Anything 103-18. And then in the second round, defeating Iggy Pop's The Idiot 115-10. So coming out of those first two rounds, we were like, man, this is like Loyola Marymount type of numbers they're putting up there. Then in the Sweet 16, Ziggy defeated Rolling Stones Exile on Main Street 64-62. So a squeaker there. And then I mentioned even closer in the Elite Eight over the Who and Who's Next 64-63. So a two vote victory followed by a one vote victory into the Final Four.
Well, if we know anything about David Bowie, it's that he's a chameleon. When it called for a blowout, he gave us his blowout, and then he changed his persona, and it was the closest of margins two games in a row. So whatever you need, David Bowie's going to get it for you.
Yeah. I mean, basically, the first two albums are sort of, I guess, niche, or I guess sort of, you know, you really had to love the artist, I think, to vote for him. I realize Iggy did a lot better in the first round in this bracket. But then the next two, you know, we called this one at one point the bracket of death. And I think I was always looking at it versus it was probably going to be some combination of the Who, the Rolling Stones, and David Bowie in that final eight or that Elite Eight matchup. And, you know, obviously somebody was going to have to perform as good as they could to ultimately get the win. And so, you know, well earned by Bowie to get out of the bracket of death.
One thing I want to point out about this Final Four that we have now, Springsteen, Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones, and David Bowie, is I know that in a lot of the Facebook chatter, there was, you know, some hope among maybe the more sort of alternative crowd, the punk contingent, you know, of the community, right? When they were hopeful for the Ramones and the Clash and earlier the Sex Pistols. And none of those three ended up getting into the Final Four, but kind of sort of punk adjacent David Bowie. I mean, definitely alternative, right? Type of artist does get in there. So that's the horse you can ride on now. If you fall on that side of things.
I mean, I would say, You know, none of the number one seeds got there. I think all of them ended up losing in close contest. That having been said, we ended up with, I think, a 2, a 3, a 5, and another 3. So, yes. On that end, at the end of the day, the bracket did not hold form. I had picked, I believe, 2 number ones to get there. And I think the rest of us, Jim, Bill, Pat, when he did his picks, I think we had at least 1 or 2 number ones as well. And at the end of the day, the number ones did not advance.
That's right. And you bring up something really important here, Jason, that when we decided on this topic for this tournament this year, Patrick and I specifically, we really wanted to come up with something that where there wasn't an obvious, winner or 1 or 2, just obvious choices that would make it to the end. And when we came up with 70s albums, we felt that it was pretty wide open field, that there were a number of albums that could, get to the final four and then ultimately win. And I think that's what you've seen here, just, to your point, that it wasn't the ones that were necessarily the biggest sellers or the most critically acclaimed, although I think all of these 4 have a combination of those 2 things, but you wouldn't necessarily pick these 4 from the outset. And also the close matchups show that if we replayed this tournament, we might have a different 4.
That's probably true. Right. And I'll add in just one other thing that I think at various points during the preview broadcast, all 4 of us, Pat at the time, who was a part of that as well, had said we were probably going to kill ourselves based on various matchups. So the fact that we're all standing, I guess, is at least a victory in some sorts, or at least good.
The 3 of us, we can't speak for the 4th member of this thing. Anyway. All right, let's look ahead, guys, to the final 4 matchups, the national semifinals. Today, listeners will be able to vote starting at 8 a.m. Eastern Time at facebook.com/suburbspod. You'll be able to vote for the matchup that is Born to Run versus Ziggy Stardust, but I want to save and talk about that one in a moment here. Let's talk about the other one. That'll be tomorrow's matchup. Let's talk about that first. What do you guys think here? Led Zeppelin 4 versus Sticky Fingers.
Well, I went to the Suburbs Pod archives because I wanted to see, out of curiosity, because I knew you had done a countdown against Rolling Stones, which was last year, and I didn't realize, I didn't start really listening to podcasts until like 2019, but you had done, at some point, a Led Zeppelin countdown. So I kind of looked at the ranking. I kind of looked at, when the you did these countdowns, how these albums fared in virtue of getting songs into the top 15. Both of these albums were the top. Led Zeppelin ended up getting 5 songs off of 4 into that top 15 list.
Really? Wow. Yeah. I don't even remember that.
I'll be honest, there's a 6th one that I have to imagine was close. It was Misty Mountain Hop was a 2. We got the 2nd most votes. Stairway to Heaven 7. Going to California 8. Black Dog 9. And When the Levee Breaks 15. And I have to imagine Rock and Roll was like a very close honorable mention. Stones album, Sticky Fingers, ended up getting the most votes out of all the Stones albums. With 3 songs getting in, Dead Flowers at 3, Wild Horses at 4, Brown Sugar at 12. It's funny because I know I was sort of trumpeting the raw Sticky Fingers since the beginning. I just look at, and I think I had said this at one point during one of the rounds, I look at that Zeppelin album, and I just think it's a powerhouse in terms of the entire album. I realize the Rolling Stones album is strong, but I think the Led Zeppelin album is really 8 songs strong and 8 songs. Like, really, you never want to turn off the album and or skip ahead. So I am going to pick, I'm going to pick 4 to advance to the final game, final matchup.
All right. Bill.
Well, first I have to acknowledge something, which is that as been much discussed on social media, I went 0-for-4 in my picks in the Elite Eight. So I would urge everyone listening, do not make any wagers based on about what I'm about to say. So, but yeah, I think I agree with Jason. I personally have more of a relationship with Led Zeppelin 4, so maybe that's clouding my judgment, but it just seems to be a solid package. Although, of course, you look at the cover of Sticky Fingers and solid package also comes to mind. So, yeah.
All right. That's some expert analysis.
I will say this, Bill. If an album with basically a leather pants and a fly ends up making to the final, look, I don't think anybody's going to be disappointed with that.
All right. Well, we'll see. I mean, obviously, both huge albums, but you know, you guys are right that that Led Zeppelin 4 sort of it stands out even in the Led Zeppelin catalog, which is huge, right? Which is, you know, beloved, right? So we'll see. Okay. Now, circling back here to the matchup you can vote on today, it'll be Born to Run versus Ziggy Stardust. What do we think on this one?
So, Suburbs Pod Archives, there's never been a Bruce Springsteen countdown. However, you did do an entire episode, I guess, dedicated to Born to Run. When you did the Bowie countdown, Ziggy Stardust, Far and Away, was the album that got the most songs. Suffragette City, number 7, Ziggy Stardust, 10, Starman, 11, Moon Age Daydream, 13. I realize this may be a little bit of, I guess, local bias, but I think on this one, and I realize I've been trumpeting David Bowie as well throughout this thing, but I think I got to go to Born to Run. You know, when I looked at it, I kind of feel the people who have been voting for Born to Run to basically just get enough to get by are going to stick with Born to Run. And I don't know the same about the Bowie vote at the end of the day. So I'm going with Born to Run to kind of get it. I think Born to Run gets the final matchup.
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, I voted for Born to Run's opponent every single round, and I've been wrong every single time. So I think I should learn from my past mistakes. I, too, am looking for Born to Run to advance.
Oh, so you just jinxed it.
When you mentioned the, you know, local favorite, Jason, I think that applies to, in a way, the majority of our audience here, because this is the only American artist left.
That's true.
In this tournament. So there's that. I don't know. I feel like Bowie, it just has captured some kind of magic in this tournament. And I think he's, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but, you know, he might go all the way, I think. So we'll see. But Ziggy Stardust, I think that one clearly is worthy. But to me, you know, when we started this whole thing out, I don't think... It feels a bit of a surprise to me. Feels a bit of a surprise. I know it's number 3 seed. Probably shouldn't be too surprised, but I just think the voters' love for Ziggy Stardust has been real, and this momentum could carry that album.
I mean, I would say it's definitely gotten the stronger Facebook comments, I think, throughout this thing. You know, it's funny because the tiebreaker I used in my ridiculous rant last time in trying to get Ziggy into the Final Four was essentially this was the album that made Bowie, or at least propelled Bowie into superstardom versus, you know, the sort of novelty act that he was. But, you know, with Springsteen, this was the album that sort of made Springsteen. So I can't use that as a tiebreak at the end of the day, which is why, again, admittedly, I may be leaning on local bias here, but I think it's going to be Born to Run.
All right, guys. We will reconvene again in a couple of days, and we'll recap these two semifinal matchups, and then we will talk about the final game, the 70s album championship. All right?
Yes. Just make sure you vote before 8 a.m. in each of these matchups. And and I would say, even if you're waiting to the last minute, just make sure your alarms is set then to 7:50 so you get in before the 10-minute deadline.
That's right. Okay, so where you can vote, you go to facebook.com/suburbspod. That's it, and you vote there. All right, let's get out of here, guys. This has been fun. And on behalf of Patrick Foster, on behalf of Shadow, we thank you all for listening. Thanks again to Jason and Bill.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. I'll see you guys soon, and we'll talk to you all later.
Now Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Webb and Gilly. Spiders from Mars, he played it left hand, but made it too far. Became the special man, then we were Ziggy's band. Ziggy really sang, screwed up eyes and screwed down hairdo, like some cat from Japan. He could lick 'em by smiling. He could leave them to hang. Became on so loaded, man. Well hung in snow white tan. So where were the spiders while the fly tried to break our bones? Or just the mere light to guide us? So we bitched about his band.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.